Let's remain standing that we might honor the reading of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have entrusted to us your word. What an amazing thought. You have not left us to ourselves. You have spoken. And you have made sure that it is recorded and written for us, and that we have this, your very word. And so, Lord, as we consider now how Paul entrusted the ministry of the word to Timothy, Lord, let us realize that this ministry of the word is entrusted to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, last time we saw that 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter, and part of the purpose in writing this is to make sure that Paul's ministry continues after Paul is killed in June of AD 67. That the ministry would continue, and Paul is making sure that Timothy will continue this ministry of the word when Paul is gone. That ministry we saw last week included the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the whole Word of God, and it included great suffering. Well, today we're focusing on this proclamation of the Word. The proclamation of the Word is the focus of the ministry Paul is entrusting to Timothy. And throughout this, remember last time I said there are 32 Greek imperatives throughout the book. Well, we're going to look at some more of those here this morning. What is involved in this ministry of the word? Chapter 1, verse 13. What is involved? Retain. Retain the standard of sound words. Retain. That word, eke, is a present imperative. In other words, for Timothy, this is not optional. It's not retain the word if you want to. This is a command. Retain. Retain the standard or the pattern of sound or healthy words. And Timothy is to do that in faith and love, which are in Christ. These words are the words Timothy has heard from Paul. So what are we talking about here? We are talking about the words of Scripture. Retain them. Hold fast to them. Don't let go of the words of Scripture. Retain it. Chapter 1, verse 14. Guard. That also is an imperative. Guard the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Do this guarding by the Holy Spirit. The treasure, quite literally, the good thing. Guard the good thing. It is a thing of value, of goodness. And it is the deposit of God's truth. Guard the valuable deposit of truth which has been entrusted to you. Do you know you have a valuable deposit of truth? It's the Word of God. It's your Bible. It's the valuable deposit of truth. It is where the truth of God is deposited. Guard it. Guard it. The ministry of the Word includes retaining it and guarding it. Chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say. The word consider is also an imperative. Consider or think about what I say. The words of Scripture say, well, I read a few of them. Yeah. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. Consider them. Think about them. Again and again and again. An ongoing present imperative. This isn't, well, hey, I read a portion of the Bible today. Yeah. And then, for how long did you deeply think about it and consider everything it was saying? This is part of the ministry of the Word. Considering, thinking. Chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember, that is an imperative. Remember, whatever passage of Scripture you're working with, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Remember. Chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things. Remind. That is an imperative. So this is the ministry of the Word. Remind them. Chapter 2, verse 15. Study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Study or be diligent is an imperative. Study so that you can accurately handle, quite literally, cut straight cut straight the word of truth, rightly divide it, accurately handle it. And it's the word of truth. Study. Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of. Continue in those things. That's an imperative. Keep on continuing in the things of the Word. You know, you never get to say, well, okay, I've done the Bible now. I'm ready to move on to something else. No. Continue in the Bible. Well, but when do I get to move on to something else? Never. Well, what about when I'm in heaven? The Word of God is still eternal. Say, well, I still need to study the Bible in heaven? Yes. Yes. It's eternal. You never outgrow this. Because these words are spirit and they are life. Continue. And chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. That's an imperative. Preach. Preach the word. Proclaim it. The ministry of the Word is retaining, guarding, considering, remembering, reminding, studying, continuing, preaching. Yes. And that is what Timothy continued to do. Taking on Paul's ministry. That is what we must continue to do until Jesus comes for us. And if you look at that list of imperatives, that is work. That's work. Retain, guard, consider, remember, remind, study, continue, preach. Those are the things Paul tells Timothy, and by the way, through Timothy, all who continue the ministry of the Word of God until Jesus comes. This is how you do it. So, say, well, you know, we need something other than the Bible. It's like, all Pastor Keith, all you ever do is the Bible, and that's all I'm ever going to do. All you ever do is the Bible. Can't you give us something else? I don't have anything else. That's it. It's the Bible. Well, you know, we're in an age people don't respond to preaching. Okay, but it still says, preach the word. Preach the word. Well, can't we do it some other way? No. Preach the word. This must continue. Churches today, and I'll I'll try not to get off on this because we'll come back to it next time. But churches today get all caught up in methodology and presentation and do not focus on truth. You know what? There's not anything in the Bible that talks about methodology and presentation. It's not there. But there's a whole lot that talks about proclamation, the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word. That must be there. So that is what Paul is entrusting Timothy to do. Now, what's the context for Timothy's ministry of the word? And it was for Paul's ministry of the word too. The context is perilous times. The perilous times, chapter 3. Timothy is going to be preaching to perilous people in perilous times. And that is still true. That's still true. Chapter 3, verse 1, we see the command for Timothy to realize that difficult times will be throughout the entire church age. Realize this, chapter 3, verse 1. That is another imperative. Gnoska. Realize this. Be knowing this. Know this, Timothy, that in the last days. Now, the last days are this entire age. The last days began with Jesus' first coming. His, what we see in chapter 1, verse 10, the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, that is Jesus' first coming. He came to earth. He was incarnate. He was born. And we'll come back to chapter 1 in a couple weeks. So this really is for the Christmas season. That's when the last days began. And they continue until his appearing at his second advent. Chapter 4, verse 8. Those who loved his appearing. This entire age, Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour forth my spirit. That was the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Fulfilling the book of Joel. The day of Pentecost was in the last days. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. In these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. This entire age is the last days. So in these last days, realize this. In these last days, difficult times, chapter 3, verse 1, difficult times will come. The word difficult, kalepos, perilous, or harsh, or fierce, or grievous, or dangerous. Yeah, dangerous times, fierce times, perilous times, difficult times. The word times, kairoi, is plural, and it refers to periods of time, epochs, or seasons. In other words, this whole age is not going to be difficult and perilous all the time, but this whole age will have seasons of difficulty and peril all throughout it. So realize that this will come. These difficult times, plural, and just recall this, these times that are plural, that's very significant, because next week we'll see a different word that's singular. There is a time. But today we're talking about a bunch of times. All throughout this age, they will come. And this word for will come is future middle deponent indicative. I know you don't care. But here's what it means. They will come of themselves. In other words, they will be impending. And as they come, they come. They come of themselves. The idea is this difficulty will be intensifying as we approach the last of the last days. So don't say things like, oh, the last days are coming. No, you were born in the last days. The last days have been here your whole life. And do you know what you're in now? You're in the last of the last of the last days. That's what you're in now. And the last days aren't coming. They're here. They're here. That's what this verse is saying. So these perilous, difficult times will come. Now, what is this like, and what is ministering the word in this age like? The characteristics of perilous people in perilous times. chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. There is increasing sinfulness of people that is accepted and promoted in culture. And you can see the whole list there in verses 2 through 5. Lovers of self, lovers of money, etc., all the way to the end. Those things, you say, well, those things have been here all throughout the age. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. There's nothing new about any of those things. But do you know what happens? So you have a difficult time and a difficult time and a difficult time. And the more there are difficult times, the intensity of this evil, of this sin, increases. In other words, what Paul is talking about is the very, very opposite of human progressivism. Human beings are not getting better. Human beings are not getting better. The world is not getting better. Say, well, I think the world is getting better. It's getting better day by day. Well, if it's getting better day by day, then something must be happening at night. Because it's getting worse night by night. It's not getting better. Okay? Now, this is a truth. A truth. The whole idea of human sinfulness and human depravity intensifies as the age comes to an end. There's increasing sinfulness, and it's accepted, isn't it? And it's even promoted. In fact, it's advertised and you have to pay for it. That's the culture in which you live. Difficult times of increasing sin. I won't go through all of that word by word. We've done that before. Verses 6 through 9 of chapter 3. There are opposers of biblical truth and false teachers. Now, Paul talked to Timothy about these false teachers sneaking into households, entering into households, and captivating weak women. But do you know that is done more readily and more easily today than ever? Say, well, no, I would never invite that guy into my house. Oh, yeah, but he's on your television set. He's on your computer. That's just loaded with opposition to the truth. Janus and Jambres were those Egyptian magicians who opposed Moses. And chapter 3, verse 8 says, these men also oppose the truth. Just like Janus and Jambres. They oppose the truth. Now, it's folly, and ultimately people can see it. Certainly God's people can see it. But this is all around us. In chapter 2, verses 16 through 19, you had Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, verse 18 says, have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection, meaning the future bodily resurrection, has already taken place. We would say today, they're teaching the rapture came and you missed it. Yeah. Okay. Paul says, they have gone astray from the truth. They're false teaching and they're hurting people by their false teaching. Chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul talks about Alexander the coppersmith, and he says Alexander did him much harm, tells Timothy to be on guard against Alexander, because Alexander vigorously opposed our teaching. Throughout this age, there have been and there will be opponents of the biblical message. False teachers, opponents, and some of them will even use the Bible to promote their false teaching. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. There's persecution. There's persecution in this age. In verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, I know, and maybe somebody will get upset with me here, but you say, well, oh, I'm so thankful that we have the freedom to meet here in this country this morning without the fear of being persecuted. May I say it? You are so naive. You're so naive. You are being persecuted. Say, well, but there's, you know, nobody's shooting at me or, you know, trying to hurt me physically or whatever. Yeah, but do you listen? And this has been going on for decades in this country. You are opposed. You are persecuted emotionally, intellectually, relationally. Oh, yeah. I mean, do you think what's being talked about all around you in your society about a human being's sexual identity, do you think that's just some kind of neutral conversation and I can intellectually take it or leave it? No. It is pressured persecution against you against your family, against anybody who is a believer who wants their family to enjoy right. You're being persecuted. You say, well, I'm concerned persecution is coming. No, you've been living with persecution for several decades already. You have. You are not the ones who are setting the tone, the narrative of all of this. The narrative is all set against you, to attack you. And it's true everywhere you go, pretty much everything you do. Persecution. Chapter 3, verse 13. There are evil men, imposters, and they proceed from bad to worse. Do you see it? Say, well, there have always been evil men and there have always been imposters, you know, fake preachers and all that. There have always been those kinds of things. Yes, there have. But do you know what? As you approach the last of the last days, they proceed from what? Bad to worse. Say, well, but we have so much of this teaching now that it's, oh my, it's available on the internet and on the radio and all this. And isn't that great? Well, some of it might be great. But you know what? The imposters and the false teachers, there are more of them now than ever. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Paul said there, such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. You might be shocked. I hope you won't be, but you might be shocked someday to see how many of your favorite radio teachers didn't get to heaven. Do you know that? Say, but man, he had that great radio program. Yeah, okay. Be on guard. Be on guard constantly. They're evil men. They're imposters. They're deceivers. And the deceivers are deceived as well as being deceived. And there are deserters. Chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says, you're aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. They deserted me. They turned away from me. Chapter 4, verse 10. Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. They're deserters, they're opponents. We must expect that when we preach the gospel, when we teach the Bible, people will ditch us. They will desert us. That's part of the perilous times we are in. Now, thank the Lord, we read it in our scripture reading in chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Thank the Lord that there was somebody like Onesiphorus who stood by Paul and didn't desert Paul, but even sought Paul out and helped Paul many times. Thank the Lord that there are still people like that, aren't there? That support the ministry instead of deserting it. But I think as we see these things intensifying in the last of the last days, we see more and more and more people deserting where there is the ministry of the Word of God. Deserting. That's how the ministry of the Word has to be done in these difficult times. Now, more about that, but you do need to say, well, what about, you know, this one, they have a big church, they have this, they... Yeah, and you know what? You know what they don't have? The Word of God. That's what they don't have. Yeah. If they did have it, people would be deserting them. Yeah. So you cannot gauge the success of a church by numbers. By the way, you never could. But you cannot. You cannot gauge the success of the church by the number of warm bodies that are in a room. Because those warm bodies in the room probably are not the church at all. They're not people that are going to heaven someday. Okay? Exercise some discernment, some guarding in all of this. Say, well, you know, I mean, imagine Timothy saying to Paul, well, Paul, if it's going to be like that, I'm not sure that this is what I want to do. You know, if I'm going to preach the word and everybody's just going to desert me and they're going to persecute me and they're going to give me a hard time and they're going to tell me I'm wrong and teach against me and they're going to do that all the time, I don't know if I want to do that. But Paul says to Timothy, now, Timothy, this is it. This is what we have. The scripture is profitable. Chapter 3, verse 15. The scripture's profitable for salvation. The scripture gives you wisdom that leads to salvation. By the way, there is not anything else that gives you wisdom that leads to salvation. There's nothing that gives you the wisdom that leads to salvation other than the Bible. Nature doesn't give you that. Music doesn't give you that. Methods and programs and ideas and philosophies do not give you wisdom that leads to salvation. This only comes from the Word of God. Only. The Scripture's profitable for teaching, chapter 3, verse 16. For teaching, for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. That is evidence and proof. The Scripture is its proof. It's profitable for correction, for restoring and straightening our lives. It's profitable for training. That word paideion is usually used concerning the training of children. The training of children. The training of children in particular in righteousness, in dikaiosune, for justification. Listen, children need to learn the biblical doctrine of justification. That is child training. Training in righteousness. Be much more important for children to learn the doctrine of justification than it is for children to learn Bible stories. You know, kids learn Bible stories, but they don't learn what justification is and how to be justified. They won't be saved. This is very important. What gives us that training? The answer is the Bible does. The Scripture is profitable so that the man of God can be adequate, fitted, complete, furnished, equipped, prepared as a teacher for every good work. So, Timothy, you say you don't want to do it in hard times, but do you know what? The Bible has everything you could possibly ever require in order to make your ministry what it should be before God. The Bible is profitable for that, and nothing else is. Nothing else is. The Bible, and that's it. Say, well, I think we need some different kind of ministry here. Some different kind of ministry will be heresy. It will be heresy. And it will not be the ministry of the gospel. And it will not bring people to Christ. Might get you a crowd in your building, but it won't bring people to Christ. So as, like Paul, entrusting his ministry to Timothy, I'm entrusting this ministry to you. Preach the word. You are the ones. You have heard these things. You've heard them for more years than Timothy heard them from Paul. You've been entrusted with them. And so, continue. Continue. Retain. Guard. Study. Teach. Preach. I don't see anybody here this morning that should not be able to teach to others what you've been being taught for all these years. Heavenly Father, as we consider these things, as Paul said to Timothy, consider what I say. As we consider these things, Lord, we do realize that we too live in difficult times. We are living in the last of the last days. People are not lining up to hear it. But Lord, unfortunately, your servants are not aggressively teaching it and sharing it either. So, Father, from now until Jesus comes for us, and we trust that that is very soon, cause this people to be faithful to you, to your word. Cause them to be faithful in communicating the word and teaching others. For Lord, in all of this, we realize that this is the only answer. This is the only way for your church. And so, Lord, take of it and use it. Bring glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.